And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herron.
Gets to the throw. Brisker sacked at the 34. He had one all year, but he is having a terrific playoff.
Kyren Williams is going to take a quick glance that way and just miss the blitzer. He never saw him coming. He took one glance and saw it very late, and it was too late for Matthew Stafford. I'll tell you what, we are seeing Dennis Allen coming out and playing this half like he played the second half against Green Bay. He is taking his shots.
Some exciting moments for that Bears defense tonight at Soldier Field. Hour number two coming at you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the post-post show on The Score. As the Bears season comes to an unfortunate end, I mentioned that being exciting. We are excited about our FM debut on 104.3 The Score coming February 2nd during Mullion Hall's show. That's right, all Score shows, Cubs and Bulls games on FM. High fidelity all the time, including in downtown Chicago. The Score will still be heard on 670 AM, but starting Monday, February 2nd, is the debut of 104.3 on FM. The simulcast is presented by the official sports book of The Score, Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. 312-644-6767. A couple of callers already are referencing where they want the Bears to go with things this offseason. Happy to have that conversation with many of you, but also talking about the game tonight. And Grant Leader played that highlight of Jaquan Brisker sacking Matthew Stafford. Appreciate the sound from NBC on that highlight as well. And the Bears defense as a whole had a much, much stronger night than I anticipated they would. I would imagine than most of you anticipated they would against the top offense in the National Football League. I mean, 10 different games this season, the Rams put up 30 or more points, and you got Sean McVay, maybe the top offensive mind in the sport, Matthew Stafford, one of the most talented and productive quarterbacks of this century, slinging the ball as well. And all those weapons that they have between Devontae Adams back in the lineup and Puka Nacua, one of the most productive receivers in football throughout his young career right now, and also one of the best and most efficient rushing attacks with the combination of Kyren Williams and Blake Corum. If there's anything, or I was kind of comparing Ben Johnson and Sean McVay and how things went, one of the more effective things Ben Johnson continued to do, he more consistently throughout the game decided not to abandon the Bears' rushing attack. And I don't know why, but Sean McVay, there were big stretches of the game, really the bulk of the first half, where the Rams just kind of decided not to run the football. Now, I like some things that the Bears did schematically, and Dennis Allen, in addition to dialing up some of that blitz pressure that we referenced and that you heard from with Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, Bears showed a good amount of five-man fronts, and it seemed that at times Matthew Stafford was checking out of some of the run plays and going to a passing attack against those five-man fronts. I'll be curious just to kind of have a second viewing of the film at some point and get a better look at how that really ended up playing out. But that was my impression at times, where the Bears would use Tremaine Edmonds, move him out to the edge, show a five-man front, and the Rams were just, they were throwing the ball with a lot more volume than I thought they would against this Bears defense that struggled against the run a lot this season. But one of the best, I mean, when you kind of grade it on a curve against that offense in this moment, certainly one of perhaps the best defensive performances from the Bears this season, and they saved it for this guy to have it game. Unfortunately, the team still came up short, though. 312-644-6767. It's getting back out to the phone lines here. John is in Oak Forest. What's up, John? I'm Anthony Herron. You're on the Post-Post Show.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you watched the Bills-Broncos game yesterday. Very similar situation, overtime. Sean McDermott, though, he elected to kick the ball. And Ben Johnson did the same thing tonight. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on this. In my personal opinion, I promise you, I said this when the toss happened. I'm like, if the Bears win that toss, I really hope they take the ball because of that whole matching scenario, which is what happened. So we gave the Rams a second possession when that could have actually been us tonight. So I just wanted to bring that up and ask your thoughts on the whole coin toss and if you think that was the right decision or not.
In overtime, with the overtime rules, and I appreciate the call, John, with the overtime rules, the only difference from the overtime rule from the regular season to the postseason is that there will be no tie. It's a limitless, well, limitless clock isn't exactly the correct way to phrase it. You'll still have the timing mechanism in place. There will still be quarters, but you'll get a fifth quarter, maybe a sixth quarter. The game isn't going to end in a tie, but both teams will end up with a possession. So everyone, when they win the coin toss in overtime, the way teams end up doing it is they want to be the second team with the ball to know what the first team did. So you have that opportunity. Yeah, maybe you end up matching the score, or perhaps you can exceed the score that the initial team ends up getting. So you at least know what you're dealing with when you're the second team to get the football. So that's the preference all throughout the National Football League. When they made the adjustment where, you know, back in my day, it was whoever scored first, kind of regardless, you know, field goal, touchdown, whatever. Whoever put a point on the board was going to be the team that won the game. So you didn't have a scenario where both teams would definitively get a possession in overtime. There was a playoff game that ended where Patrick Mahomes didn't get a chance at the football and folks were up in arms about it. So then I think it was the very next year where the NFL ended up adjusting the overtime rule. I wasn't really a big proponent of it. Didn't bother me. You had 60 minutes to play defense. You get overtime to play defense too. The whole sudden death or sudden victory thing in OT didn't really bother me. As an old defender, go out there and make a stop. But many of the games ended up coming down to whoever won the coin toss, first team that got the ball, would close the show right off the bat. The folks got sick of that, and so now each team gets a possession, and that you always see in overtime at this point, especially in the playoffs, team who wins the toss gives the other squad the ball so they know what they got to do with it. 312-644-6767. Eric, rolling along, wants to talk about the Bears. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you doing? I lost my voice when they tied the game, so forgive me for this. But
no problem.
I have to say that you have a very astute observation about this game, but you're being too kind on Ben Johnson, not kicking the ball, not ordering that field goal. And here's why: this is not the regular season, right? You're two teams away from going to the Super Bowl. And in your opening drive, you can put 3 points on the board before anyone else. And he didn't do it. And it's terribly frustrating, especially for our fans who remember how horrible the play calling was from the coach that preceded him. The other thing that was disappointing is that, you know, one of the things that's been great about Ben all season is he's been able to, in second half, make terrific adjustments. But he was bested today. You know, in that he did not read after the half the way he should have to make the appropriate adjustments. If you have enough time after your response, I have 2 encouraging things I heard in the tunnel on the way out of the stadium.
Well, if you can be quick, Eric, why don't you give me those 2 encouraging things now, and then I'll react to your fourth down conversation. What were the encouraging
things? The first one was when somebody said year one. Absolutely right. Ben Johnson, this is year one. We're lucky. Second one, Green Bay sucks.
I appreciate you, Eric. 312-644-6767. Yeah, that was all over, even on Bears Game Day Live. On my Fox 32 earlier this afternoon with Lou Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Nguyen, and Tina Nguyen's live shots. She's out there out in the tailgate area outside the stadium. And folks who were in the camera behind Tina, who were chanting here and there, they weren't chanting about the LA Rams. They weren't chanting about the divisional playoffs. They were chanting Green Bay sucks, and they could not get enough of it. Every time we threw Tina on camera during Bears Game Day Live, you have folks either on camera behind her or off camera chanting Green Bay sucks. So Chicago as a city, Bears Nation as a fandom, is still reveling in taking 2 out of 3 from the Green Bay Packers this season and knocking Green Bay out of the playoffs last week. And I get it. I dig it. I love it. I'm happy for you for the happiness that you have over taking down the Green Bay Packers. To the fourth down questions. Now, on the initial drive, we got to remember the early part of the game, you had not only winds that seemed to be swirling at a higher level, and also you did have the snow, the not just flurries. I mean, for a minute, it looked like blizzard-type conditions early in the game and throughout a lot of the first half. So the first drive, Ben Johnson doesn't quite know yet what he's going to get from his defense. Are we having to match score for score with the top offense in football because we're not going to be able to stop them, just like we couldn't stop San Francisco and whatnot? Roma Dunze had a touchdown in his arms that he let slide right through his arms on the opening possession. So, again, as the old dinosaur, if it would have been, I think, probably around a 40-yard field goal on that first drive that Ben Johnson decided not to, goes for the fourth down, ends up in a pick. The second series is the one where you got a chip shot field goal and a chance to put three on the board. Now, they respond, and it's a touchdown pass to DJ Moore. That one actually bugged me more. And then the next one he passes up on the field goal would have been about a 50-yard field goal, and he goes for fourth down, and they don't get that one. So it's one of those things. You're trying to read the game on the go, and not all these fourth downs are cut from the same cloth. You're reading the flow of the game. You're getting a sense for the weather conditions. You're getting a sense for how your offense is moving the ball, and if you feel good about your opportunities to convert there, what the opponent is doing to you. So you continue to kind of just play that out throughout the game. My bigger issue was some of the play calls themselves. Well, again, it's all kind of series by series. They were 3 out of 4 on fourth downs. Some of the ones they converted, I didn't like the decisions. Some of the ones they did convert, didn't like those decisions either. So I try to judge them individually as opposed to just looking kind of macro, you know, all the fourth downs were good or all the fourth downs were bad. I know some people are just saying Ben Johnson's aggressive, just live with it, and it's all good every time he goes for a fourth down. That, to me, isn't a realistic way to look at it, because just because he's known for going for fourth downs doesn't mean that every fourth down he goes for just has to make sense. I do believe on the whole, and I've said this a number of times, both on The Score and on Fox 32, that Ben Johnson, for a guy who is very analytical, very metrics-based, and an aggressive play caller and an aggressive coach in general, I do think he's balanced it really well in this first season, not being reckless with the amount of fourth downs that he's gone for. It does seem to me that in these two playoff games, he's ramped it up that much more. Part of it, I believe, is because his confidence in his offense has enhanced, and recognizing what he dealt with last week from the Bears defense for at least the first half of that Packers game, he kind of felt like they were swimming upstream a little bit. That's my interpretation of it. But yeah, he's more aggressive on fourth downs, at least in these two playoff games, than I would have preferred. For most of the regular season, I didn't have much of an issue with his fourth down decisions. 312-644-6767. Jimmy is out in Chicago wanting to get involved in the post-post show. Okay, we don't have Jim anymore. Let's go to Troy, who's in Albany Park on the post-post show. What's up, Troy?
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate the insight as to, I mean, we've got a lot of calls about people not wanting Ben Johnson to go forward on fourth down, wanting more conservative play calling. I am going to go the other way. I think he could have gone more aggressive. I think there were, I mean, the two touchdowns that he did, he didn't go for two, especially right at the end. I think he could have gone for two on the last touchdown we had. He makes it, we win that ball game. If he doesn't, we're in the same situation. He's from that, you know, MCDC, Dan Campbell tree, aggressive, going for it all the time. He could have gone for it more, and, you know, it's a coin flip. It was a coin flip game, it felt like, most of the time. So he could have done that. I would have been happy with it. A little more perspective on the season as a whole. I'm just so happy with where we're at right now. I'm proud to be a Bears fan today. I and a lot of other people, I'm sure, did not think we were even going to make the playoffs this year. And to beat Green Bay like that, and to take LA down to the wire in overtime. Are you kidding me? Man, this is the most fun that I have had watching Bears football in 20 years. And so I'll hang my hat on that for the next several months, and I'll enjoy watching the Hawks and Sox for the next several months, waiting for next year. And I'll be so gosh darn excited for it.
I appreciate you, Troy. Thanks for making the call. 312-644-6767. And when you look at the game as a whole, I mean, as far as the total amount of offensive plays that were run, both teams had the ball for similar amount of snaps throughout the game. The Bears were 9 out of 19 on third downs in the game, 3 out of 6 on fourth downs in the game. Outgained the Rams by 77 yards throughout, and the yards per play, Bears were 5.1 yards per play. The Rams only 4.4 throughout the game. Held Matt Stafford to less than 50% completions in the game. He was 20 out of 42 passing the football. This guy might win the MVP from the season. He's put together historic numbers this year, just mind-boggling numbers, passing the football, protecting the football, not getting sacked. He was the least sacked quarterback in football this year. The Chicago Bears, and frankly, their woeful pass rush, found a way to sack Matt Stafford 4 times in this game. Caleb Williams did not get sacked once. So there was so much from this game that went the way of the Bears, and grading the snap-by-snap of it, this is different than some of these recent games. All three of the Green Bay games, you go back and kind of grade the film, I think there were more snaps where the Packers would grade out with a plus than the Bears did. You can say the same thing about some of the other games down the stretch. This game was not that. The Bears, I believe, for the most part, not only went toe-to-toe with, but I believe outplayed the Rams for much of this game. Not dominated by a wide margin, not they should have been up multiple scores throughout and missed some opportunities, but going toe-to-toe with a team that has been in the Super Bowl conversation the entire year and being able to play on par with them, if not better than them, for much of it, and having the quarterback on the field that I believe looked more comfortable throwing the football for the bulk of the night. Those are all really positive signs to step into the offseason with. Thing is, this is the end of innocence for the Bears right now. I'll tell you what I mean by that after a timeout. I'm Anthony Herron. This is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herron.
Final throw. Yep. Session, what did you see? What did you expect to happen?
Gotta go back and watch it. Obviously, don't haven't seen it and don't really know. But from in the moment, you know, saw the front side safety down, front side of the concept. End up getting hemmed up a little bit, and so moved on and had DJ going over top over all of it. Just a miscommunication between him and I. Tried to flatten him off under the safety, and he kept it vertical from, you know, what I saw on obviously in the moment.
That was the Iceman, Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, describing that final of his 3 interceptions of this game tonight, the last one that he threw to DJ Moore. And I reference the end of innocence, and I'll discuss it tonight, and I'll discuss it tomorrow on the midday show as well, as this is the Post-Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, The Score. But you can tune in all day tomorrow for a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Gabe Ramirez will be live starting at midnight. Then it'll be Mully and Haw live starting at 5:30, featuring Olin Krutz at 7, Brad Biggs at 8, and Mike Florio in studio at 9. All of that can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. And for Caleb, those 3 interceptions on the night tonight, this is where he had never had this season. He had no multi-interception games, and then he had 2 interceptions in last week's game, both on fourth down. First of his 3 interceptions tonight on fourth down. So now he's had back-to-back games in the playoffs here, closing out with multiple interceptions. 2 last week, 3 tonight. The thing that stands out to me, and again, this is why I use the term the end of innocence, is because I am judging the Bears differently on the 2025 season into the 2026 playoffs. Judging them differently, judging Caleb Williams differently right now for this year than I will beginning next season. There's a lot of excitement that you've had, those of you who've called into the show so far. And I know a lot of you other callers on the hotline right now that we'll get to in just one moment will want to discuss how things look going towards next season. But when I use the term the end of innocence, that is because right now this is the happy place that we're in right now in viewing the Bears and evaluating the players and the coaches. It is year one of Ben Johnson, and there is a lot of excitement wrapped up in the exceeded expectations for this particular season. That won't be the case next year. It was very similar coming out of the 2018 season. I described that as the end of innocence. That game, that playoff loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, and the excitement that was there going into the 100th season, going into what that season, what that year felt like it could become. But everything was so much more angsty around the Bears, hoping for the continued development of quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, hoping for what we saw from Matt Nagy to continue to come through in enhanced play calling and the Bears defense to keep being dominant and Khalil Mack to keep showing he was the best defender in football. And nothing felt as sweet after 2018 as it did in that particular year. So soak this in, enjoy this, revel in it, because in a few short days, everything around the Bears is going to feel different. Maybe not days, perhaps weeks. I read one caller already moved on. Just the disappointment of the game was already over for one of our callers we had earlier in the post-bowl show. They were already eager for next season. That eagerness, that excitement will continue to build throughout the offseason to the point where a lot of you are going to expect the Bears to go undefeated, to win the Super Bowl, win the division by several games coming down. So right now, the joy that we have right now, as this season comes to a close, it is a positive place to be, but it will feel very different going towards next year. And for me as well. So hand up right now, three interception game for Caleb. What I really like about a couple of the interceptions he threw is that we see him cutting the ball loose with anticipation. The side adjustment with DJ Moore, where he's looking at leverage of the defensive back, throwing the ball, letting it get out of his hands before DJ's made that break, and just anticipating being on the same page with his pass catcher. DJ continues his route and his leverage up beyond the safety. Caleb thought he was going to flatten the route out and undercut it and beat that safety to the spot in front of him to where Caleb was throwing the football. Kind of feels a little bit like a couple of the early season moments. We're wondering, why aren't they quite on the same page? What's going on between Caleb and DJ? So the season effectively ends. The last offensive snap of the year is Caleb and DJ not being on the same page. So some disappointment wrapped up in that. But right now still feels sweet because this season was so fun and so surprising and so beyond any of our wildest dreams and expectations. 312-644-6767. A lot of callers who want to continue getting involved in this conversation here. What we got? Indiana. Rick is in Indiana. Want to talk about what's happening with the Bears. What's up, Rick?
Hey, what's up, Anthony? I appreciate you taking my call, man. We had a great, great year. The Chicago Bears had one awesome, great year with a first-year coach and Caleb coming into his own. And I got to give a reference off to the caller before me was Troy. That was an awesome call, Troy. I hope you're listening. And then I just want to tell you, we got the best coach, best play caller, best quarterback. But I got one question for you, and you almost answered it a little bit ago.
What's up, Rick?
Okay. I want to know what you think the effort was DJ going for that ball, and I'll hang up and listen to you. I love you,
brother. I appreciate you, Rick. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. So effort to me is a tricky word because I really think it just came down to DJ saw one thing and read the leverage of the defensive back one way. Caleb saw it and read it a completely different way. You look at last week's situation where I think it was the first interception he threw. It was on a fourth down to Luther Burden, where Luther Burden makes a side adjustment. He's going to continue vertical up the sideline. He's kind of doing the mailbox deal, whereas Caleb is expecting an in-breaker. He's expecting an in-cut. So he throws it to where he believes his receiver is going to be. And that's how the top passing attacks in the National Football League thrive, because you have to be able to read the coverage the same way based off the spacing, the landmark of defensive backs, and a quarterback's got to be willing to cut it loose with anticipation. And so it ends up looking like DJ gave up on the route when really, and even my initial reaction was like, oh, why is DJ kind of gliding over the top of the defensive back? and Chris Collinsworth was discussing it live during the action as well, where it wasn't even a sharp break that DJ made there. So it, you know, the precision of DJ Moore's routes, that's like I've described him on this station and on Fox 32 frequently as a guy who's kind of a running back in a receiver's body, or receiver in a running back's body. Like he's not always the most crisp and precise route runner, but man, is he a fantastic playmaker. And he's come up so huge for the Bears so frequently this season. And you even think back to, you know, when he called game against Green Bay during the regular season and then again in the playoffs, and that those furious comebacks. Yeah, sometimes guys are looking kind of petered out and kind of tired, but no, I don't question the effort of DJ Moore. Perhaps the precision of the route, the focus that's there at times, but effort isn't the word I would use for it, because we've just seen him rise up over and over again. And for DJ and Caleb, for Luther and Caleb, for Rome and Caleb, for Colston and Caleb, who, you know, finished the game in concussion protocol apparently, all these pass catchers getting year two into the Ben Johnson offense, hopefully that consistency and precision will rise up that much more as we get into year number two. But then you think about that moment at the end of regulation, the last Bears offensive snap of regulation, where it came down to a fourth down again. And it felt very similar to the game against the Packers, where, you know, Caleb hits Jahdae Walker on a fourth down in the back corner, and he just sailed a ball out the back of the end zone on third down. And I had the same fear, you know, sort of, you know, fall over me during that moment as I did tonight as well. On third down, he just throws it out the back of the end zone. It's like, wait, you've only got one down left, Caleb. What are you doing? And he gets to fourth down and just lets it all hang out and makes one of the most miraculous pass completions any of us will ever see. And this is just becoming a weekly thing with Caleb. And so now we'll have to live the entire offseason with no more late game magic from the Iceman. That is an unfortunate place to be. 312-644-6767. Charlie's been on hold for a minute up on the north side. What's up, Charlie, on the post show?
Hey, Anthony, big fan. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for your analysis of that last Caleb interception. I want to say you're right. We exceeded expectations this year. It was a great season. Give credit to the Rams. They're a good team. I think Coach Johnson has the right mentality. This season has been great, but it means nothing heading into next year. Our division's strong. You know, I love Coach Johnson, but he's one of four great coaches. So we'll see. And so I'm curious about your kind of takeaways as a player. You know, how does the team look next season in terms of like their mentality? And also curious your opinion on the safety position. Love Byard. Absolutely love Jaquan. Really hope we bring both them back, quite frankly. But curious about your opinions on Brisker, who had a great game this season. And thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, appreciate you, Charlie. Jaquan Brisker, that might have been the best game of his Bears career. Like, we've seen him have some physical plays. We've seen him make a couple of nice interceptions over the years. But for one, you think back to the offseason coming into this year and how Jaquan Brisker finished the bulk of last season in concussion protocol and wasn't able to return. And so now this season, in a contract year, for him to play the full season, to be healthy, to still show the degree of physicality that he showed this year, but also he had a better knack for being in the right position. He didn't get as nosy this year, where you couldn't outflank Jaquan Brisker with the run or the pass. He anticipated moments better, just had a better sense about him at the second and third level for the Bears defensively. And so you could see, you know, the experience and the sort of student of the game quality that you hope for a defensive back, all those things showed up at a higher level for Brisker this year. Kevin Byard, it's a potential free agent. Jaquan Brisker, potential free agent. Jonathan Owens, potential free agent. Nashawn Wright, potential free agent. CeeDee Deuce, potential free agent. And yes, Andrew Billings as well. So there's a lot of guys whose contracts could potentially be coming up here as we get into the offseason, and the bulk of them defensively are in the secondary. So there's some big decisions that Ryan Poles and the Bears are going to have to make here. And as deep as the DBs have seemed, as deep as the linebackers have shown themselves to be this year, the needs that are apparent up front on the D-line, just to have more shot wreckers, more playmakers, more guys who can impose their will and beat one-on-one blocks, especially on passing downs. My guess would be, to your question, Chris, that's where the resources will be focused more so over this offseason to really impact the game there, because we've seen the depth show up on the back end and, frankly, at linebacker at a level that most of us didn't anticipate. So I do think that they'll have some tough decisions to make at the second and third level of this Bears defense. There's a lot of guys who played a big role in many of the wins the Bears had this year. And, you know, I'm not here to predict that that's Jaquan Brisker's last game as a Bear, but if it is, he went out with a bang, and it's going to be film that a lot of folks around the National Football League are going to look at and say the guy can run the alley, the guy can be a second-level linebacker for you, he can be a fantastic blitzer. And when he was matched up one-on-one at times tonight against Stafford in that Rams passing attack, he rose up time and time again on the back end, being able to make plays in coverage also. So really love seeing that. Happy for Jaquan Brisker that he got through this season healthy with all the concerns that were there, and then also was able to play really effective football and have maybe his best game as a Bear to close things out. So that's a big credit to him for what he was able to do this season. 312-644-6767. I've got one segment to go. I'm going to get out of the way and come back and get to as many of these callers as I can before we get out of here. I see Ken and Carl and Vinny and Robert and Matt and others who are on the hotline right now. This is the Post Show. I got my guy Grant Leader on the ones and twos for me this evening. I'm Anthony Herron. This is The Score.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herron.
It's tough, you know. Been in that locker room, the best moments is being in that locker room after games and after wins, and being with the guys that you all have a common goal, you all sacrifice family time, you know, and things like that, and all that you sacrifice to be in this position, to be in those moments. And so it's tough, and so, you know, in these moments you feel that you let your team down, or you feel that you know this or that, and you know, it's a good lesson learned for us. First time been in this situation for me and for us as a team, and you know, I'm excited for you know what's to come. But obviously, you know, going to go back and watch this and figure out how I can be better, and that's the exciting part.
It's Caleb Williams discussing the suddenness of the end of a season. Been there where you get eliminated from the playoffs and just wondering kind of where it all went, but then these assumptions get made about how we're just going to return here yet again and have additional bites at the apple. And it frequently enough doesn't work out like that. CJ Stroud keeps making the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. That is very impressive, certainly in my opinion, but a lot of folks in Houston with the way the playoffs ended for the Texans today and the way that he hasn't seemingly continued to ascend as a top-flight quarterback, a lot of those assumptions don't always work out in that way. Jaden Daniels, we'll see what he looks like back healthy next season. So we can be really hopeful about that. But Joe Burrow hadn't made another deep playoff run since making the Super Bowl in his second season. So there's a lot of stories about quarterbacks who the championship potential looks very promising early, but it is so difficult to go there and to go there multiple times, to get there at all, but then to get there multiple times. Only few get to tread in those waters. So we will see what the future holds for the Bears. We'll see how this post-post show ends at 312-644-6767. But a few players that just off the dome, though, guys who played the best football of whether they're young or their veteran careers, like Caleb Williams as a second-year player, obviously leaps and bounds better this year than he was last year. But a more seasoned vet like DeAndre Swift, best football he's ever played in the National Football League. And he was already a quality football player. Cole Kmet was already a good football player. So even though the reception numbers for Cole Kmet went down this season, but overall, definitively a better football player. Both, I think, a better pass receiver, even though the numbers and the volume of targets didn't equate to a career year for him. I thought he was a better route runner and more consistent as a pass receiver this year than we've seen from Cole Kmet. Certainly everything he did as a blocker was exceptional for the Bears this year. Darnell Wright with a career year as a right tackle. It's great to see that. Development of Austin Booker really showed up as a second-year pro. As quality a career and Tremaine Edmonds had gotten the bag already when he showed up here in Chicago and had some big years with Buffalo before that. But prior to the injury, Tremaine Edmonds, best season he was having of his career. Another fantastic year from an interception perspective for Kevin Byard. I talked earlier about Jaquan Brisker. There are so many players for the Bears that it's easy to point out and say that guy got better this year under this regime. Now, in the end, it ends in the divisional round, but a lot of promise, and if we try to assume some development, this is at least a coaching staff in its current construction that you can look at and say they get players better and in many cases seemingly get the most out of players by comparison to what guys have been in other stretches of their NFL careers. 312-644-6767. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Ken is in Elk Grove, who is now on the Post Show. What's up, Ken?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So at the end of the game there, I mean, you saw kind of two special things. One was not teachable, and the other one was very teachable. You know, Caleb's throw and his abilities are, you know, we've seen it in this town maybe a couple times. You know, Michael Jordan rings a bell, you know, like just having specialness in those moments, you know.
Yeah.
He obviously has to rack up quite a few more of them to be in that category, but the potential really does seem to be there in a way that you cannot teach, you know. But then that high became a low in a moment where I feel like, you know, I'm not sure if it's the play call or if, you know, more somebody was saying that he ran a pretty lazy route, or if it's just overly risky for the situation. You know, they need 15 yards to give Santos a realistic shot to win that game. Second down, right? And they're throwing the 28-yard pass, you know, like that's kind of interception danger zone, you know, just in a normal day, you know, and it obviously didn't work out. I'm just not sure if that's the moment, you know, to be that risky, and if that's a decision that Caleb can make or would have made differently in a year or would make differently next year, you know, that's a moment where it's like, okay, that's the one thing we can't do here, and I'm not letting it happen again under my watch. Not in overtime of a playoff game. You
and
know?
I do, and as I was kind of describing it earlier, where, you know, just kind of what the nuance is in that side adjustment, that the quarterback is seeing one thing from the defender's leverage, the receiver is seeing something different, so DJ keeps his route going more vertical beyond the safety, whereas Caleb is expecting him to flatten it out and come across the guy's face. So it's not a situation where it's like, you know, short yardage, here's a slant route call, so I just know exactly where the guy's going to end up. I think to the caller Ken's point, is that on a second down in overtime with a chance to drive into field goal range where you play it a little safer? I think that's a fair critique and a fair question. Now, again, top flight passing attacks, quarterbacks and receivers who just make big time throws and catches on a frequent basis. I mean, you know, Caleb to DJ called game twice on really aggressive downs and distances when they didn't necessarily have to go for a touchdown yet, but they did it. This happened twice against the Green Bay Packers just over the past month, basically. So, you know, it has worked out really well where Caleb and DJ have gone for the strike play. Now, that wasn't going to be a touchdown pass as the other two moments I'm describing were, but opportunities at aggression when you feel like the coverage is dictating you have an opportunity to attack. Ben Johnson trusts his quarterback and his receiver to do that. But I think it's a fair question on second down if you play it a little bit safer because you've got the opportunity there to just drive, you know, pretty close to field goal range already. You know, I don't have a problem with that critique. 312-644-6767. Let's get to Carl in Oak Forest. Want to talk about the Bears. What's up, Carl?
Hey, what's going on, Anthony? Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
All right, so I want to reflect on the season. And with the picks of Colson Loveland and Kyle Manunga, how do you feel about those picks, Anthony, and how they've developed?
Remarkably productive young players who should be good for a while.
Yeah, I like them too, especially just over the season, how they've targeted Loveland more and used Manunga as a great second back, looking like Seahawks, Charbonnet, and Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, I think that for, you know, Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, to have that combination, the Seahawks are looking like a big-time threat. I was telling people that weeks ago, and folks are complaining about Sam Darnold and whatever else, but you got a defense like that and a run game like that and a playmaking quarterback. Man, just think about if the Bears kind of continue to grow in that direction. We know they got a run game that can cook. They got a defense that showed up tonight to get more from the defense growing towards the next season, a quarterback on his rookie deal. There should be a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation, and some joy in the way that we look back and evaluate this season. And I'm glad that, you know, so many callers we took on the post-post show tonight, that many of you are basking in that glow and that joy. You will have the continued opportunity to do that with my guy Gabe Ramirez, and you can certainly tune in all day tomorrow for Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. Gabe's going to be live starting at midnight in just a few short minutes. Then it'll be Mully and Hall starting at 5:30 featuring Olin Krutz at 7, Brad Biggs at 8, and Mike Florio in studio. I don't believe Mike Florio's ever been in studio before. Or maybe that's just my bad memory. Maybe he was in studio last week, for all I know. All that can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. You'll hear me on the midday show at 11 a.m. with Raheemi, Harris, and Grody, recapping the game and the Bears season as a whole, anticipation for the offseason, and what I am terming as the end of innocence. But right now, a lot of joy can be taken from what we witnessed with the Bears this year. I do believe that this is a team that's on the rise, but doesn't mean that 2026 and its regular season will guarantee the Bears anything at all. But what a game it was, what a moment, and I think to one of those final callers' points, you see a quarterback who's got a command of the moment, a command when the game is nearing cold, crushed depth. Caleb Williams over and over again has shown his ability to rise up. Man, just for his first year with Ben Johnson, the nightmare fuel that those two individuals have infused into the National Football League, I do believe great things are in store. But for now, I'm going to get out of the way for my guy Gabe Ramirez, who will be with you in just a few minutes. My thanks to Grant Leader on the other side of the glass for me throughout the post-post show. As always, I love coming on the air talking Bears with you as I host these post-post shows. You'll, of course, continue to hear me all over the scores. We prepare to attack the FM dial starting on February 2nd. So that's something to look forward to. But until then, you'll just hear me on the midday show coming up tomorrow and any other time I'm filling in on the other day parts. Appreciations and salutations to all of you out there on the phone lines, and congratulations on a surprisingly fantastic season from the Chicago Bears. I am Anthony Herron. This is the all-powerful Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.